Glory to God. Would you stand with me, please? Anybody hungry tonight?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I believe in fasting, but not fasting of the word. Amen. If you turn to 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 17, most of us can quote it, but it's an outstanding verse. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Aren't you glad for a fresh start? Hallelujah. Revelation 21, verse number 5. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Lord, we ask your blessing on your word. Let there be an anointing, not just on the pulpit, but the pew, God. Make a difference tonight in our walk with you. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. If you then also turn to Proverbs, the third chapter. Proverbs 3 is an incredible chapter. It really outlines the issues of life. And I'd like to start in verse number 1. It says, My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. If we remember what we've been taught, what's in the Word of God, God gives you some guarantees, length of days and peace. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee, bind them about thy neck, write them upon the tables of thy heart. Extend mercy to people. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Want to get along with people? Want to get along with God? That's what you do. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. So many people who are just don't know what God wants them to do, but here's a formula. Acknowledge God in all his ways. He's going to direct your path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It's not very difficult to understand where evil is and where you should be and where you shouldn't be. It shall be health or cure to thy navel or the center of your strength and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. All right? So shall thy barns be filled with plenty and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. So we have these conditions. God says, if you'll do this, I will do that. You know, and he didn't write this down just to fill a page. He wrote it down for our benefits. Now in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, it says, Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, most of us have been delivered from a whole bunch of things. But you know what? God says, not only do I forgive you of those things, but I don't remember them. And so even though I remember what I came out of, I don't advertise to other people what it was. Because there isn't any value in telling people what you were when you're a new creature in Christ. Old things have been passed away. So there is a transformation that takes place when we are filled with the Holy Ghost. The word new creature in the Greek means original formation, or what God wants to do is bring us back to what he first intended us to be at the very beginning. We have all experienced it. The things that we wanted no part of, suddenly we're attracted to. I mean, they just about had to drag me to the first church service I came to. And now you'd have to drag me out of church because I'm a different person than I was when they first dragged me to church. Something happened inside of me. It wasn't just because of my determination to live for God, because I didn't have a determination to live for God. God put something in me that changed me into the person that I am today. And see, that change continues in us every day. We have become new creatures in Christ. Old things have become repulsive. When somebody uses the name of the Lord in vain, it's like, I can't stand it. Whereas before that, didn't bother us at all. Now, we just didn't purpose in our heart that I'm going to live for God and develop this. It happened because of the Holy Ghost in us. 2 Corinthians 3 and 18. It says, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Paul is saying, as we are in the presence of the Lord, we see ourselves in a mirror as to how we should be changed into the image that God wants us to be. And that word changed here means to be transformed, or a form of metamorphosis where we are completely changed into a person that we weren't before. And God does that. We don't do that. There are all kinds of self-help books. There are all kinds of counseling. There's all kinds of things that you can go through. And some of them are very good, but they don't do the change. They just give us the instructions. Well, God gives us the instructions, but then as we adhere to what the Word of God says, He literally does the operation and makes the change within us. I see these guys in prison going through these 12-step programs for alcohol and drugs and pornography and all kinds of things, you know. And they get through it in 12 weeks, but it doesn't change them. They still have those same desires. But what happens with God is He changes us to the point where He takes the desire out of us and it gives us the ability to live for Him the way we're supposed to, you see. In every church service, in every song service, we are being transformed into the likeness of Christ. Not only looking that way, but our attitude, our perspective, our values. We literally walk out of this building different than when we came. You may not understand that, but you're exposed to a radiation of the Holy Ghost that just changes us and changes our molecules, if you will. How? Even as by the Spirit of the Lord. That's what it says. When God gets inside of us and all over us, He changes and transforms us to be more like Him every time we're exposed to be with Him. Amen. And that's not only in church services, but when you're at home, when you're reading His Word, when you're in prayer, there's a change that happens that causes us to say, oh, I don't look that good. I need to be more conformed to what Jesus is, you see. There's conviction in the Word of God that just causes us to make those changes. And I believe He changes our DNA. The original mapping of our DNA codes are changed somehow internally. And I can't explain that, but I can't explain why all of a sudden the things and my values have completely reversed from where they were for the first 30 years. But I know they have because I wasn't like this before. It's just because I was exposed to the Spirit of God. Amen. They say part of the signs of the end time is ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of truth. Ever going to Bible studies, ever going to church, but then your character hasn't changed once you walk out of the building, you see. Because we have become a new creature in Christ. Paul said he now loves the things that he once hated, and he hates the things that he once loved. He didn't even understand it. Oh, there's still a battle, but the closer we can get to God, the less war we have with this flesh, you see. My friend, Brother Tanberg, is no longer with us. He passed a couple of years ago. He pastored for years in the Eau Claire Church. He's preached for us, and I've preached for him many times, and we became good friends. And he loved to eat at these buffets, all-you-can-eat kind of places. I've never seen a guy eat so much and still look good, you know. But years ago, he had a heart attack. He was standing behind the pulpit, and all of a sudden, he just fell over. And they called the rescue squad, and he was just out. And his wife said, "Hallelujah." He always wanted to die preaching, you know. But they revived him, you know, and he had to go through a heart operation. And what they did is they gave him a pig's valve, you know, in his heart. And after that, I would kid him all the time that he just loved corn on the cob, you know. But Ezekiel 36 and 26 says, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And listen, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgment and do them." See, it's the new heart. It's the Spirit of God that is within us that enables us to live the way God wants us to live, because we can't do it on our own. Having church without God is so boring. It never gets anything accomplished, you know. We'll debate over the Word of God if the Spirit of God isn't here. But when the Spirit of God anoints, we all just take it in and say, yes, yes. Some people even say amen. We all get heart transplants when we get the Holy Ghost. Amen. I don't care who you are. I don't care how athletic you are. You get a heart transplant because God knows you can't deal with what we have to deal with if we have our own heart of flesh that's stony, you know. You want to hear something really strange. 8 years ago, my sister had a bone marrow transplant. I remember she had breast cancer, and they did chemotherapy. And after the chemotherapy, they realized that she now had cancer of the bone. And she was given a death sentence, 5% chance of her living. But they said there's only one chance of something like Brother Cliff Smith. If you got a bone marrow transplant, you could survive. And what they have to do is they have to kill all your own bone marrow or white blood cells. I'm not a nurse or a doctor, but all of yours has to be killed, and then you're supplied somebody else's bone marrow, which is a match to you. The hospital tested me to see if I was a match for the transplant, but I wasn't. But they did find a match, a man that was in Germany. And at the time, I texted a picture of Albert Einstein to her and said, I found the guy. Okay, we've all established that I've got a strange sense of humor, you know. So my sister went into full recovery and has been doing well for the last 8 years, now baptized in Jesus' name, and she gives God the glory for what has happened to her. For 30 some years, I talked to her about the things of God, and she ignored me until she was arrested. Her attention was arrested. Now she knew she couldn't do this without God. And although we're grateful for the doctors, I'm more grateful for God doing the heart transplant more than the bone marrow transplant. But here's the strange thing. Her eyes have always been dark brown, just like mine, you know, all her life. But now she has green eyes. That's strange. After they turned green, she went to ophthalmologist to find out if there was some kind of an infection in her eyes. And the doctor said that it's not uncommon for bone marrow recipients to take on the color eyes of their donor. Isn't that amazing? Well, we got a heart transplant and we got bone marrow transplants. We got a blood transfusion. And now all of a sudden, we aren't the same person we were before. We're starting to look more like Jesus Christ than we ever did before. I'm sure he had dark brown eyes. For you that don't, I'm sorry, you know. We all had to have a change in our eyesight. You see, all of our eyes have been changed to see the kingdom of God that we couldn't see before. Jesus said in John 3:3, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And that is so true, folks. We could not see what God was doing in the world. We could not see Scripture like we see it. It has been revealed to us. God pulls back the curtains. He's allowed us to see miracle after miracle. He sets up situations in our life, in services where we're thinking about a Scripture and then it comes over the pulpit. We know that God has orchestrated us and allowed us to see things we could never see except we've been born of the water and born of the Spirit. Brother Carpenter came up to me a Sunday night immediately after the preaching, came up to the pulpit and he said, "Hey, I've just got to tell you, did you see?" Probably you didn't, but all during the service there was an angel right over there just staring at you as you were preaching the Word of God with this smile on his face. You know? Now, God has privileged him to see some things in the Spirit that perhaps I'll never be able to see. But he opens our eyes to so many things that, you know, the world could never see it. I've talked to people about angels over the years, and they look at me like I was from outer space, or even talking about the miracles of God or what God's doing in the church, like that couldn't be. Hallelujah. All the time, God is changing us a little bit. I went to our 52nd class reunion 2 years ago. Boy, I'm old. And everybody had to have name tags. Nobody recognized anybody. We're changing, folks. Amen. Glory to God. But as we change in the natural, hopefully we're changing in the spiritual, and that we're becoming more and more and more like our Lord. I would hope to say that I look a lot more, I have the same attitudes and values of Jesus than I did when I first came into the church. Amen. Would you turn to Ephesians, the first chapter? I'm not preaching long. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 17. that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. He enlightens us, you know. To me, there isn't anything that's greater than seeing something for the first time in Scripture that I had never seen before. Perhaps even read the Scripture over and over again, and all of a sudden, God shows me a meaning or a shadow or type in it that just propels me to want to look more into the Word of God, because there are hidden treasures within the Word of God. Amen, amen. There must be a metamorphosis that takes place in each and every one of us. There's got to be a change that is taking place. We can't just get to the place where we're 73 years old and settle in like, okay, this is it. I'm just the way I am. Without having a desire for more knowledge, more wisdom, more change, nor looking into the Word of God as a glass or a mirror saying, there's got to be something that I need to improve on, you see. Glory to God. So take a look at Romans, the 8th chapter. Romans 8 and verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And we need to keep in mind, what is his purpose in this situation? You know, we can get so upset with things not knowing what his purpose is. About a week ago, it was very, very windy. I went into a store. My wife was in the car, and some guy pulled up next to our car, opened the door, and the wind took it and then smashed into our car, you know, and $867 damage. Now, you could get all upset about that, and we have insurance and a huge deductible. But what's the purpose here? Is there something, God? Is it the guy who now we have his contact information? Is it the insurance company? Is it the people who repair the car? What's the purpose? Can't be that. All things work together for good? I don't want to go through that operation. All things work together for good? And then verse 29 says, for whom he did foreknow, he knows all about you and your future. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. So the last step is the big change. You know, the leaving this place, glorified bodies. But we have to go through all of the other changes to get to that last change. And if we resist the first changes, maybe we won't get to the place of justification or glorification, you see. Now, that word predestined does not mean you're going to heaven, you know what I mean? He doesn't decide who's going to make it and who isn't. It's just a poor translation choice on the people who wrote this. But the word predestined in the Greek means to limit or restrict freedom. Why? So we would conform to the image of God. He doesn't allow us to do all of the things that we want to do, because if we did, well, then we wouldn't conform to the image of God. And some people take that as, well, God doesn't love me as much as other people because I can't do this or I don't have this. But God knows, because he has a foreknowledge of you and what you would do, he sometimes restricts our liberty or restrains us from having certain things. Glory to God. And the word conform means in the process of association and companionship to then resemble God. So as we spend time with God, in companionship with God, and even in companionship with the church, we take on the persona, we take on the resemblance of you Pentecostals. You see? We don't have to have classes every week on what you should look like and how you should act and how you should be faithful. Because when you spend time in the company of godly people, you just want to become more godly or conform to the image that God would have you to conform to. Hallelujah. It's a great program. You know? If you allow yourself to be in it. I've said this on a number of occasions, but it's the ugly caterpillar that's crawling on the ground who eventually restricts its movement and allows itself to be in a confined cocoon, that if he allows that, then eventually there is a freedom and a beauty to fly away as a butterfly. You know, God's given us those pictures of restrict and become beautiful, if you will. So God has given us an abundance of scripture to show us the process that he expects us to go through. And the process starts off so simple, and then it gets a little more intense as we live for God. But we have to decide, are we going through to the end? He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. You know, it's like someone who starts lifting weights. They don't start with 300 pounds. They start with 40 or 50 pounds, you know. And then after a while, well, that's simple. And then God puts a couple more weights on. Click, click, you know. And you get used to that. Oh, I only come on Sunday mornings, you know. And then later on, you add services. And then you start looking different. And then you start acting different. And then you recognize, you know, I have an obligation to support the church. All of these things are happening gradually. He's not a dictator. He's so gentle with us. And every time we take another step, he gives us another reward. Amen. So, if you'll turn to Romans chapter 6. You know, we have one book that gives us the plan of salvation, the book of Acts, and then all of these other epistles are how to become a Christian. Probably 90% of all preaching is to people how to live for God, you know. And this is one of those books. Chapter 6, verse 1 says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us that were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. The only problems we have with temptations is that we didn't kill it a long time ago, you know. Years ago, I preached a message on how Saul did not kill the Amalekites, King Amalek, and he just saved the best, the king, and some of the spoil and all of that. And years later, he was killed by an Amalekite. Had he done what God said, kill them all, you wonder if he himself, if there's something in your life that dominates, that is a temptation, God's saying, kill it now, that down the road, you don't become the victim of that which you had the ability to kill. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2, verse number 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So there was a spirit within us before we came to God, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, or made us alive together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. So he's changed us. He's made us alive to the things of the spirit and dead to the things of the flesh, the carnality that we are so familiar with. And then Romans, the 8th chapter, starting in verse number 1. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. What I always think of when I read this scripture is there are people who don't have full truth, and when they find out what we believe, there's always this condemnation. Well, you're wrong, you're judgmental. But we never get to that place with other people. You know, because there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We're just trying to share more information with people. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Our worst enemy is wearing our clothes. You know, it's us. It's not the devil, it's not the world, it's the flesh that is tempted. There's so many lustful things that we have to overcome. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, make alive, change your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. So the more exposure to the Spirit of God, the greater chances are that we can overcome the flesh, overcome temptation, see. But if we haven't been around, if we haven't been hearing the Word of God, if we haven't been in song services, if we haven't been hearing the Word of God, now all of a sudden, the old man is getting stronger than the new man. Amen. Church, every one of us are a miracle. We really are. That we're sitting here on a Wednesday night in church, we're a miracle. We have been transformed, renewed, renovated, and become a new creature in Christ. Amen. Brother Paul Dorflinger is now revamping a house. It used to be one story, it's now a two-story. If the old owners would come back, you could never. That was my house, you know. I keep watching it as it's changing shape. And I wonder if that's what God's seeing in us. Completely renovated, changed. We don't look anything like what we did when we walked into the church the first time we came. Brother Graff came for the first time with hair down to here. Little bit of change. We all changed. And God's saying, yes! I'm glad I moved in. Amen. Amen. Old things, old habits, even personalities have changed. Because of the transforming power of the lives of the Spirit of God within us. Our last scripture, if the musicians would come, Philippians, the second chapter. Philippians 2 and 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's God in me that causes me to do his will, to do his pleasure. Without God in me, I don't have a chance to be pleasing or to conform to the image that God wants me to conform to. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. Without God inside of me, good intentions, I know I should, but there's a power in me, a changing power, a metamorphosis that wants to take something that was ugly and crawling on the ground.
Hallelujah.
I'll fly away, oh glory. By and by, I'll fly away. I'm so glad for the change.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I never want to go back to the ugliness.
Amen.
I've seen people walk away, put away their wings, and go back to crawling on the ground. Not conforming to the image of God, but conforming to the world that they came out of. And there's nothing sadder, in my opinion. Tasted of the good things, sat in heavenly places, and now, there's nothing in them to cause us to do His will or to be like Him. Amen. Keep bringing it on, Jesus. I want to be more like you. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Thank you, Lord. The altar's open. Would you come?